From the Hackensack Meridian Health, Stage 17, high above Madison Square Garden at the OG Podcast Network Studios, in the center of the universe, New York City. It's the Rob Bartlett Radio Comedy Hour, starring Rob Bartlett and the Robbio Radio Comedy Players with Steve Mecca and a band to be named later. And now, here's your host, Rob Bartlett.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You guys have been a great crowd. Thank you. Good night.
Thought I cut my losses because we were starting off so great. I thought now it's not going to get any better than this. So, but we're glad you're here. Welcome to the Rob Bartlett Radio Comedy Hour. This is show number 4. We'd like to thank you for watching us live on Facebook, or perhaps you've downloaded us off iTunes, or perhaps you downloaded us off of OG Podcast Network. Whatever it is, you're here with us, and that's all we really care. But before we go any further, let's say hello to our musical director and resident dreamboat, Steve Mecca, and a band to be named later.
So dreamy.
Those of you who watched or listened to last week's or last episode, episode 3, found out that Steve revealed a hidden talent. He does about as spot on a Ron Howard impression as you'll ever hear. Do a little for us, Steve. Do a little.
I found my thrill.
Uncanny. You know what that is? You know what that is? What do I always say? That's precision. That's craft. Yeah. Very happy you're so proficient in the character voice department, Steve. Very,
thank
very
you,
happy.
Thank you.
Really happy. I'm not jealous or anything. It's not like I was hearing, how come you can't do as good a Ron Howard as Steve does all effing week, but I'm at the show. We have a great show for you tonight. If you're joining us for the first time, let me kind of hip you as to what's going on. This is not like anything else on the podcast programming landscape. We are a comedy sketch show that is spontaneously scripted, which basically means the cast doesn't get their final scripts to about half an hour before we air, which is a plus for those of you who watch us live on Facebook every Monday evening at 7:30 or download us on the iTunes and Stitcher and Google Play and the OG Podcast Network. Not that we're trying to plug ourselves as we're going on, but see, the thing is, the potential for our screwing up is very high because we don't get the scripts till half hour before we start. So you get a little extra schadenfreude, which is a big Dick Cavett Scrabble word meaning taking pleasure at others' misfortune, which is kind of like our motto here and what we depend on, our ability to make fun of other people's misfortunes. So it's only fair that we get it right back. So nobody's better at this stuff than our little ragtag troop of comedy players. Before we go any further, let's meet our cast. Please welcome a man who needs no introduction, but we give him one anyway, just to shut him up. Formally from Saturday Night Live, Mr. Andy Smithy. Yay! New York theater actress, writer, producer, and star of the award-winning short film The Weight of a Feather, Ms. Whitney Johnson. Award-winning comedic actress, musical theater veteran, and an endearingly poignant spitfire, Ms. Mandy Lee Pantyhose Thompson. Direct from the national tour of Phantom of the Opera, where he is starring in the role of Stan. That can't be right. Nevertheless, he's a classically trained opera singer. We're lucky to have him. He flies in each Monday to join us here in the Radio Hour, Mr. Constance Pappas.
Rob, it's Constantine Pappas.
Whatever. And, of course, our spiritual leader, multi-talented Renaissance woman, actress, writer, singer, dancer, her performance of Your Grand Old Flag in her fourth grade production of America, Yes Siree, is the stuff of legend. The one, the only, Ms. Megan Simard.
Thank you. Living legend. Thank you.
Now, I wasn't kidding when I said that he was a classically trained opera singer. I wasn't kidding. He actually is. What are some of the operas you've starred in, Conrad?
It's Constantine.
Uh-huh.
I've been in Il Barbiere di Siviglia, Carmen, Così fan tutti.
Oh, I wrote an opera myself. It was actually more of an operetta. It was called Così fan tutti frutti, which was about Little Richard opening an ice cream parlor. A Baskin Robbins. Somebody stole one of the flavors. There was only 30. It was a tragedy.
I'm sure. Losing an ice cream flavor is tragic.
No, I meant the whole production was a tragedy. The pull quote from the Times was, Cosa fan tutti duty. But what's unique about Constantinople?
Constantine.
Whatever.
Please.
What's unique about him is that he can also sing regular, which obviously is a very different style. Most classically trained opera singers don't do that well with pop songs, but I always wondered if Pavarotti and Andrea Bocelli, they would have do like an album of 70s and 80s hits, you know, Bee Gees, Taste of Honey, Bo Donaldson and the Haywoods. Wouldn't you like to hear Andrea Bocelli do a version of the theme from Fame? Baby, look at me and tell me what you see. I can catch the moon in my hand. Tell me, please, who I am. Remember my name, Fame. I'm going to leave forever. I'm going to run up in the sky, Fame. I'm going to take you to heaven. People are going to see me and cry, Fame. Well, hey. Whether you're a lover or whether you're a brother, you're staying alive, Fever City breaking and everybody shaking, and we're staying alive, staying alive, oh, 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 staying alive, staying alive, oh, 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 staying alive. She worked hard for the money, so hard for it, honey. I heard my mama cry. I heard her pray the night Chicago died. Billy, don't be a hero. Don't be a fool with your life. Get up on the floor. We're going to boogie, oogie, oogie till we just can't boogie no.
Inspirational.
See, what do I always say? That's precision, that's craft.
Right.
Speaking of which, we're very lucky to welcome a new sponsor here on the Robbio Radio Hour, our first car commercial for a brand new model from Cadillac, the Everest. You don't play by the rules. You make your own. You love the feel of the open road. You won't be seen dead in a smart car or Mini Cooper. You need unbridled power vibrating under your hands as you grip the wheel. You want
Everest.
Introducing the Cadillac Everest. Not an SUV, not a van, not a pickup or a crossover, but the single largest mass production vehicle ever made.
I like a man who can reach the top.
The 2019 Cadillac Everest, the peak of automobile engineering. While the rest of the world is looking to downscale their vehicles and find alternate fuel solutions, the Cadillac Everest is a gasoline-powered, 3,500 horsepower, 25-cylinder turbocharged beast made of 100% solid cast-forged iron that can withstand a drone strike without so much of a scratch.
Ooh, I like a man who drives a car that I can see, hear, feel, and smell coming.
With four doors, two axles, six wheels, and a 37-foot-long chassis, at 9 tons, the Cadillac Everest dwarfs every other vehicle on the road.
Cut me off? Oh, no. No. I don't think so.
The 2019 Cadillac Everest, with the most inefficient combustion engine on any car in history, gets 4 miles to the gallon.
Gas crisis? What gas crisis? I got mine.
0 to 60 in about a minute and a half, depending on tailwinds.
I like a man who's in no hurry to get where he's going.
More carbon dioxide emissions than any other vehicle ever produced.
like a man whose car says, I just don't give a rat's ass about the environment.
The Cadillac Everest. Ain't no mountain high enough. Ain't no vehicle big enough. Climb into one today.
Can someone give me a boost here?
The Cadillac Everest. Because it's there. You know, Conrad, you are...
Constantine,
you
please.
Are a man of a thousand voice. I like a man who drives a car that says, I have very small hands. Because you know what they say about men with small hands? They have very, very small gloves. Now, on the first episode, we started a continuing series based on a cross between Dateline and that NPR podcast, Serial, where they followed a murder case for 13 weeks. We had our own episodic murder mystery that involved dentists and pancakes. If you haven't checked it out, we urge you to. It's worth the wait. It was pretty successful, so when it concluded, we got a lot of feedback from people who wanted to do another one. So back by popular demand, and by popular demand, I mean Megan's sister, Sarah. We bring you the story of a serial killer in Las Vegas at an Elvis impersonators convention.
Las Vegas,
Sin City. But when 500 Elvis Presley impersonators gathered in Las Vegas for their annual Elvis impersonator convention, it was the sin forbidden by the sixth commandment, thou shalt not kill, that rocked that neon town. There were a lot of suspicious minds when the Marrakesh Casino quickly turned into a heartbreak hotel in a case of a hunka-hunka burning murder. Deader than Elvis. Marrakesh Casino Hotel plays host to ElCon, Las Vegas' most prestigious Elvis impersonator convention. 3 days of jumpsuits, sideburns, and curled lips. But this year, on the night before the convention was to begin, things got all shook up when Leonard Sorkin, a past champion of the Elvis impersonator contest, was found dead in his hotel room.
I thought it might be fun to date a guy who dressed up like Elvis, you know, so I could pretend I was Priscilla. But then, when I went to his hotel room, the door was wide open, and the guy was on the floor of the bathroom, deader than Elvis, curled up next to the toilet with his pants around his ankles. I thought, wow, this guy's good. What attention to detail. Very authentic. Although, I did think he was overdoing it just a bit, but I was upset. I just paid for a Priscilla Bouffant comb out.
Sorkin's death was termed suspicious, pending toxicology reports. The news soon spread through the convention. Russian Elvis impersonator, Elvis Prokopy.
Yeah, man, it's said that Lenny was dead, but cool, man, that he died like king on throne. It was tragedy, but way I looking at it, there was one less Elvis in the competition.
Detective Robert Neumeier of the LVPD was called in to head up the investigation.
The toxicology report came back negative. Sorkin had been strangled with one of those Elvis scarves the impersonators use in their performances. I wanted to shut down the convention right then and there, but the organizers said, no, or something like what Elvis would say, no.
No.
Yeah. That's it. They said, no, not until the last Elvis has left the building. But there wasn't any doubt. We had a murderer on our hands.
The organists said, nah, huh? Is that it? The organ grinders? Or the organizers? Okay. The Elvis impersonator convention was not canceled, but that decision soon proved to be a fatal one. Marrakesh Hotel maid, Annie Polk Salad.
There was this tiny Elvis, mini-E, I guess you could say. He was the cutest thing, a perfect little pint-sized king. He called himself Elf-Is. I found him stuffed in the waste paper basket in his room with a huge peanut butter and banana sandwich wedged in his mouth. He'd been suffocated. I was horrified because I knew I was going to have to clean that mess up.
I actually knew little Elvis. His name was Hennessy. He was a pretty well-known little person in Vegas and worked a lot. His big number was a little less conversation, and every time he said the word little, he'd point to himself. It was hilarious. But I couldn't get one thing out of my mind. Is killing a little person the same as murdering a regular-sized guy? Or is it just a misdemeanor?
The Las Vegas police were now faced with the possibility that there might be an Elvis impersonator serial killer loose at the convention. Vegan impersonator, Elvis Parsley.
There was this new kid doing Army Elvis. And he had every detail down, uniform, everything. Called himself Private Presley. But the ladies called him Presley Privates on account that he was hung like the king. Well, he went AWOL, and when they finally found him, he was dead with a bear trap around his neck.
Private Presley had been caught in a trap. 3 murders in 3 days. The Elvis impersonator universe was rocked to its very core, even more than it was the day the first female impersonator Elvis came on the scene, Ella Viss.
I'm a female Elvis impersonator, not a female impersonator Elvis. That means something entirely different. I'm a woman pretending to be Elvis, not a man pretending to be a woman pretending to be Elvis. Anyway, I do the comeback Elvis, you know, 1968 with the black leather suit. Some guys think it means I'm into kinky stuff, but when I take care of business, it's just business. So there's a lot of resentment among the community. And so anyway, when I came back from my first show and I found my room had been broken into and my blue suede shoes had been stolen, I just chalked it up to the bitterness until they found the next dead body and he was wearing my shoes.
You done? Who was the hound dog who was killing all the Elvises? Who stole Elvis's blue suede shoes? And why can't anyone in the convention impersonate the truth?
Hey, don't look at me, man. I don't even do jailhouse rock.
Find the answer to those questions and more on the next Death Can Kill, Deader Than Elvis. Wow, I can't wait to find out what's next.
Oh, my goodness.
Hopefully it'll involve that Russian Elvis. Guess there's not too many Russian operas, huh, Connor?
Constantine.
Yeah, him too. But, you know, in addition to being an opera singer...
Hey, Rob. I don't want to interrupt, but I wanted to give you the heads up that the network is sending someone down tonight. Supposedly someone responsible for the show.
What?
I don't know, like quality control, they said, or I don't know. Her name's Linda.
No. We can't have somebody come in with the show.
Did someone say Linda from the network? Hi.
Oh.
Hi, Rob. Hi.
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 Hi. Hi, I'm Linda.
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
Now that we've got the pleasantries out of the way.
Yeah, I'm just so happy to be here.
Well, yeah, it's a pleasure to meet you.
Thanks.
Yeah. So you're here from the network.
I am. I'm here from the network. Uh-huh. I'm just here to make sure that everything goes smoothly and that this show can be the best it can possibly be. Although I have to say, Rob, I'm a huge fan, and I can't see it going wrong in any way if you're the lead. You know,
sometimes
because I'm just like a big fan. Did you know I've seen you 42 times on Broadway?
Really?
Yeah.
I was not in that many shows.
Once in a show, but I've seen you on the street in Broadway like 42 times.
Okay.
You have a new messenger bag. It's really nice. I like it a lot.
That's not too uncomfortable.
No, not at all.
So you're here because you're...
Yeah, well, okay. okay, not to be a total bummer, but the network sent me down because they just want to make sure that you always talk about social media on the show because, you know, sometimes you forget, you naughty boy.
Well, there's a lot I got to do.
There is a lot. There's a lot you got to do because you're the star.
True. And
that's true.
I write. And
yeah.
Also...
But that's okay because I can talk about social media. Do you want me to let them know what's going on?
That'd be cool.
Okay, cool. Okay, so everybody write this down. Don't forget to follow us on Facebook at Robbio Radio, Twitter at The Robbio, Instagram at Rob Bartlett Radio Comedy, and if you need to email us, that's robbioradiocomedyhour@gmail.com.
And of course, our YouTube channel, the Rob Bartlett Radio Comedy Hour YouTube channel.
Don't forget YouTube! Yeah,
that's what I just told them.
Right. But that's not the only reason why I came down. Did you know that today we got our very first piece of fan mail?
Really?
Yeah, like real mail.
Only took a month. A month?
Yeah,
not bad.
Yeah. Like with paper and an envelope and everything.
Oh, it wasn't like an email. It was...
No, it's like a real letter.
Oh, I'd like to.
I brought it. Do you want?
You did.
Yeah. Would you like me to read it for you?
Would you please? I would love to know what it says.
I'm so excited to share this with everybody.
Instead of me, but
okay. No, I'll read it. Well, you know I love the show.
Yeah, I know.
And I've always wanted to be on it.
I'm getting that feeling.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So here's the letter. To whom it may concern. I am an enormous fan of the program. Well, not fan, because that word is short for fanatic, and I assure you I am not a fanatic, because that would connotate that I was some kind of crazy, obsessive stalker person like a groupie. No, I am not a groupie. I prefer to classify myself as a Rob Bartlett Radio Hour enthusiast. I love all the sketches and the comedy, except for the stuff that everybody else is in, because they kind of bog things down, and the show is really all about Rob. I think there should be only one other recurring character, somebody named Linda, who works for the network. So please consider that before you do any more shows. Sincerely yours, Linda. Melinda. Melinda. This was written by a woman named Melinda.
Melinda. Just,
yes.
Linda, it's obvious you wrote that. I mean, and you put all those stickers on it, and those flowery things and smiley faces.
Okay, I wrote it. I wrote it on real paper, and then I put 2 stamps on it to make sure that it got here, and I mailed it in a real mailbox and everything, and I've just been waiting for weeks for it to show up.
I'm glad you didn't email it, because then you would have had to put a lot of stamps on the computer.
Right. And I wouldn't have had a reason to be here.
Yeah, well, we got a show we got to do, Linda. Thanks for stopping by. We got to move on. Okay,
but if you ever need me, I'm upstairs.
Okay, yeah, we'll give you a shout if we ever need you.
Okay.
I can't imagine that we will, but thank you.
I'll see you next time. Just remember, I'll be back.
Linda from the network.
Yay. Wow, weird.
Linda from the network. You know, I love doing the show from stage 17. I just wish there were locks on the doors. You know, we're very lucky to have a cast of so many experienced actors from Broadway and off-Broadway and off-off-Broadway and off-off-off-off-Broadway, which is Queens Boulevard. But one of our cast members, Mandy Lee Pantyhose Thompson, you were in the 25th annual Putnam County Spelling Bee, weren't you?
Mm-hmm.
Right, and you played...
I played Logan Schwartz and Grubinier, and I had a lisp and a retainer.
See? What do I always say? That's precision. That's craft.
That's right.
Well, anyway, we thought it'd be a good idea for us to do our own version of a spelling bee, because those are always, you know, fun and interesting, and everybody can relate to them. But we came up with a clever little title for it, this sketch. We call it Spelling Bee. Welcome to the finals of the International Orthography Society Second Grade Spelling Bee. In this final round, if the speller is incorrect, they are out of the game.
Go, Isabella!
Mrs. Michaels, I'm sorry, but we must ask you again to please refrain from shouting out to the children on stage.
Oh, I'm not. I'm just shouting to my daughter.
Yes, I know, but the rules forbid that behavior. Now, contestants, when there are only 2 spellers left, if one player misspells a word, the other player must spell that word correctly, plus 1 more word to be declared the winner of the spelling bee. We have 3 contestants left. First up, Emma Jacob. Emma, your word is eviscerate.
Definition?
The act of removing the bowels and or viscera of a child by cutting so as to cause all the guts to spill out onto the floor in a bloody heap.
Can you use it in a sentence?
Little Mary hoped that the monster who lived under her bed would not eviscerate her and remove her bowels and or viscera so as to cause all her guts to spill onto the floor in a bloody heap.
Eviscerate. E-V-I-S-E-R-A-T-E. Eviscerate.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's incorrect, Emma. You're eliminated.
Ha, Isabella could have spelled that.
Yeah, be that as it may, Mrs. Michaels. But that makes the first of our last two finalists, Ethan Jackson. Ethan, your word is somnophobia.
Origin?
A derivation of Latin and Greek.
Definition?
A fear of death by the monster who lives under your bed.
Can you use it in a sentence?
Mary was racked with somnophobia after the night her cousin was brutally eviscerated by the monster who lived under his bed, spilling his guts out onto the floor in a bloody heap.
Somnophobia. S-O-M-N-E-P-H-O-B-I-A. Somnophobia.
I'm sorry, Ethan, that's incorrect.
A monster under my bed? Really? I'm seven!
That leaves Isabella Michaels as our final contestant.
You go, girl!
Mrs. Michaels, I must ask you once again to refrain from any further outbursts, or you will be asked to leave.
Just cheering my little girl on. You got this, baby!
Yes, but we must have decorum.
Decorum!
D-I-C.
No, you were both eliminated. Now, Isabella, according to the rules, you must spell Ethan's word correctly, and then you will...
Somnophobia. Somnophobia. Somnophobia.
That's correct.
You damn right it's correct.
See, that's where you guys would have normally applauded, but that's okay.
Thanks a lot.
We talked about this. Isabella, if you spell this next word correctly, you will be the winner of the International Orthography Society's second grade spelling bee. Isabella, your word is nakalavi.
Origin?
Scottish.
Definition?
A skinless centaur with a single enormous eye, arms that drag upon the ground, and a snout like a pig who lives under your bed.
Can you use it in a sentence?
Although your parents told you that your baby brother was stolen by gypsies, he was actually torn apart limb by limb and eviscerated until his guts spilled out onto the floor in a bloody heap by the hideous nakalavi that lives under your bed.
N-U-C-K-A-L-A-V-E-E, nakalavi. There, we win.
Way to go, sweetheart. Come on, grab your trophy and let's go home. After staying in the hotel for so many days, I'm looking forward to sleeping in my own bed.
Mother, if it's all the same to you, I think I would prefer to stay at a hotel, given the new disturbing information that's just come to light.
Okay.
Gypsy's mother, really? You couldn't come up with something better than that?
You know, I was never in the 25th annual spelling bee, but I am an excellent speller myself. And you know why? I learned from an early age that the F in Rob is silent. Anyway, we're happy to welcome another sponsor to the Radio Hour. You know, we have quite a few female followers of this program, and not just Megan's sister, Sarah.
No.
We have quite a few female followers, and you know why?
Because we feature so many talented women in the cast?
No. Oh. Because the women's, they love the Robbio. And so we're delighted to welcome to the program a brand new perfume designed for that special, indescribable woman in your life. Je ne sais pas.
I am a woman unto myself. I am not like anyone else. I am an original, but I am a contradiction.
Je ne sais.
I am many things. I am unique, yet distinctive.
Wait a minute. Aren't those both the same thing?
Je ne sais.
Bold, yet reckless.
Okay, now those are both definitely the same thing.
Je ne sais.
I am my own woman, which is why I don't want to smell like anyone or anything else.
Je ne sais.
I am scandalous, but shocking.
Oh, come on. You have to know those are synonymous. It's not an either
or. I am private, but I like to keep secrets.
God damn it. That's the same thing. I am so confused.
Je ne sais pas. The new fragrance from Francois Lamerde. Je ne sais pas. It smells. See, a sophisticated scent for a sophisticated program.
That's right.
Because I'm all about sophistication. Because I'm from Long Island. Mm-hmm. Now, this may surprise you, but I am not the only famous person to come from Long Island. There's Jerry Seinfeld, Alec Baldwin, both of whom come from Massapequa, like me. Actually, I'm from Massapequa Park, which is kind of like the wrong side of the tracks from Massapequa. Literally, the Long Island Railroad tracks. In fact, if God was going to give the earth an enema, Massapequa Park is where he'd stick the hose. I'll put it to you this way. It's not quite as classy a town as Hicksville, which sounds like you can only live there if your parents are related by more than just marriage. One of my favorite people is from Hicksville, the Long Island medium, Teresa Caputo. Oh. She and her husband, Larry, went through a little rough patch recently. They were separated about 3 months ago, and now I just found out they're officially filing for divorce. He apparently found somebody special. So I guess our girl, Teresa, is going to have to start dating again. But I wonder what that must be like, dating a medium.
Hi, welcome to Olive Garden. Can I get you any... Oh, my God. It's you, the Long Island medium, Teresa Caputo. I can't believe you're here at the Olive Garden. I love your show.
Yeah, thanks, but I'm not working right now. I can't help you.
Oh, of course. So sorry to hear you broke up with your husband.
Yeah, well, it happens. You would have thought Spirit would have given me a heads up that there was a problem, but can we have a couple more minutes, please?
Oh, so is this a date?
Yes. Wow. I may be a medium, but you must be a psychic.
I'm not, actually. I just guess.
It was a joke.
Oh.
We're not quite ready yet.
Okay. Well, of course, I'll leave you two alone.
Thanks.
Does that happen a lot?
Oh, yeah, all the time.
Have you eaten here before?
No. Don't get the eggplant parmesan. It's not very good here.
I thought you said you hadn't eaten. How did you know?
Spirit. Somebody who ate here before died of botulism from the eggplant parmesan. Thanks for the tip, Tony. Give my best to Abe Lincoln. He says you're much better off with the shrimp Alfredo.
That was my second choice.
I know. Spirit told me. Oh, and by the way, the answers are yes, yes, no, and not since my husband and I split up.
What?
The answers to your questions. Your mother was asking me.
She's dead.
I know. She's talking to me through spirits.
Really? She's here?
Yeah, well, she's talking to me through spirit. And, wow, she's very judgmental.
Oh, I'm sorry. I apologize. She was always, well...
She wants to know what I see in you.
That's just... I'm so sorry. You know, she's always interfered with my life. She's the reason my marriage broke up. And now she's meddling from the grave? That's it. Ma, shut up! I'm not a little boy anymore. You can't control me. I make my own decisions. I am going to live my life the way I want to. No matter what you say. And you can't do anything about it.
Oh boy, she's not happy now. Whoa, she is going off something fierce.
I could care less. Really. I don't care. Okay, what you saying?
She's asking me what I think of a son who leaves his mother to rot in a nursing home.
It wasn't a nursing home. It was a senior citizen residence. They call it a relatively decent place for mom.
She says she'll never forgive you, and she will haunt you for the rest of your life. And when you die, she's gonna really let you have it. Unless you apologize.
I'm not apologizing. I wasn't equipped to handle a single or sick mother.
She says, if you don't apologize, sir, she's gonna do something that won't make you happy.
Like what?
Oh, wait. Oh, really?
Oh, what is she saying now?
She says you cry in bed after sex.
That is just... How does she know that?
She also says you sometimes wear your ex-wife's nightgown to bed.
Shut up, Ma! I don't wear my ex-wife's... It's cotton. It's comfortable.
And she says, don't believe Blondie when she says size doesn't matter. It does. And most men are much bigger than you.
What?
She's right. It does matter. To some women, but not to me.
Really?
Oh, believe me. My ex-husband, have you ever heard of a micro-member? Believe me, you can only take not taking it for so long. And that was the problem. It wasn't so long. What? Yeah, well, no, stop it. Get lost, lady, or else I'll tell your son a secret. Your secret. You know what secret. That little battery-operated thing you kept in your nightstand. Yeah, good. See ya. She's gone.
Thank God. I am sorry about that.
Oh, please. It's fine. You know, I think it's very sweet that you cry in bed after sex. I love a sensitive man. And, for the record, I wear a cotton nightgown. What do you mean, what do I see in him? I just said, I love a sensitive man. What, you listening?
I thought you told my mother to go away.
Oh, I did. I was talking to mine. What? Ma? No, stop it. I'm sorry. If you'll excuse me, I'm going to have to go to the ladies' room and deal with this so we won't ruin the rest of our night. You know what I mean?
Of course. I'll order for us. What would you like?
Anything but the eggplant parmesan.
I especially like the that was it actually
ghost sounds.
Yeah, it actually sounded like it was coming from the afterlife. It was. See, that's precision. That's craft. By the way, I also cry in bed, but before sex.
Oh.
It's part of the begging process. How about you, constipation?
Constantine!
Yeah, him too. Was that like a little uncomfortable for you to like watch him say those things? Constantine's mom is here. His whole family's here.
Aww. Nobody alive.
I know. Well, we know that you don't have anything like that in your nightstand because that's a classier woman. So when he told us that you did, I said, well, we're not going to put it in the script because it's... Of course, I lied because we did put it in the script, but that's another story altogether. And... Is it a crushing disappointment to watch him when you're sitting there and I'm trying to help you here. The pharmaceutical industry. See how I move from that one topic to another, you know. And you're not a single mom, obviously, because he's here.
Sick. S-I-C-K. Single. S-I-N-G-L-E. It's really funny. It's okay. It's just they got the script a half hour before we started. What are we gonna do? You know what I mean?
But, you know, maybe law school. Just a thought. The pharmaceutical industry, and like I said, I am king of the segues. They've been a very loyal supporter of us here at the Radio Hour. And we have another exciting new product that really is kind of a wonder drug. Brought to you by the same people that brought you Masculantin. Pain. Throbbing. Stabbing. Relentless. You feel like steel spikes are being driven into your head.
Panacea.
Scratchy, burning throat, like you've swallowed razor blades, broken glass, and barbed wire.
Panacea.
Waves of nausea, a queasy feeling. Your stomach feels like you're on a dinghy caught in a monsoon.
Panacea.
Panacea. Nothing provides such powerful relief. Panacea, the remarkable universal symptom remedy. No matter what you're suffering from, pain, discomfort, nausea, insomnia, excess hair growth, nothing works faster than Panacea.
I love the spicy food, but it don't love me. I used to suffer from awful heartburn. That is, until a friend of mine gave me some Panacea. Now I can eat hot peppers right out of the jar. And not only that, but I don't get the bad breath anymore, neither. This stuff's great!
Nothing is stronger or works faster than Panacea, because Panacea contains Ubiquitol 16, the miracle compound that scientists are still learning the wonders of.
I had embarrassing eczema on my face and neck that disappeared 20 minutes after I took my first dose of Panacea. It also curbed my appetite to the point where I peeled off 30 pounds in 2 days. Let me tell you something. It's like a cure-all miracle.
Hi, I'm actor-director Ron Howard. You might know me from Happy Days, Splash, Apollo 13, and Heidi Montag says no to plastic. I had this itchy sensation around my genitals that I'm telling you was driving me crazy. But my brother gave me 2 Panacea, and I couldn't believe the instant relief.
Sometimes on those days when I have a problem with irregularity, I just take Panacea and I am right back on track. It's also arrested my short-term memory loss, filled in the itchy, patchy bald spots I used to have, and arrested my short-term memory loss. Thanks, Panacea.
Panacea, formerly only available in Europe. Now you can get it right here, over the counter, in the United States, in your grocer's freezer. Panacea, good for whatever ails you.
Not approved by the FDA for human consumption. May be severely habit-forming. Do not drive or operate heavy machinery while using. Do not take if pregnant, nursing, or presently under a doctor's care for high blood pressure, diabetes, neck injuries of any kind, or if you've had a recent surgical procedure. If a foul-smelling discharge should occur, discontinue use immediately. While taking, a strange green glow may appear around the pupils of the eyes. This is normal and will subside with continued use. May cause consistent ringing in the ears.
I owe you an apology, Constantine. After hearing Andy do his little bit, I owe you an apology.
It's okay.
Because after that, I think I may need to take a handful of Panacea. Uh-oh. You know what that means. Oh, yeah.
Pantyhose.
Here she come, here she come, here she come.
It's a party now.
Pantyhose.
What she wear, what she wear, what she wear?
She wears pantyhose.
What's her name, what's her name, what's her name?
Thompson.
Oh, yeah. It's Pantyhose Thompson. Welcome back, Pantyhose. Oh,
thank you so much, Rob. I get my own theme song. I'm so gosh darn flattered, I can't get rid of my giggle mug.
giggle mug?
Yeah, that's when you can't stop smiling, which I've been doing ever since you asked me back on the program, don't you know?
Well, your segments were great.
Well, thank you. When you didn't have me on last time, I thought maybe I didn't meet the high standards you set for this show. But then when I saw you had brought back that murder can kill thing, I knew that wasn't the case.
So, you like being here in New York again?
Oh, yeah. It's the city that never sleeps, yeah. Rob. Oh, boy, do I need a nap. Oh, and I brought my little puppy Hufflepuff with me this time. Yeah, I got her all dolled up in this cute little doggy sweater I knitted her just for the trip. She looked cuter than a Garfield lunchbox with a Hello Kitty thermos inside. And I took her over to that Riverside Park dog run.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Quite the fancy little canine soiree you got over there.
Sure.
But I noticed New York dogs are a lot different than Minnesota dogs. Don't you know? They were all huddled together looking at Hufflepuff like they were sizing her up or something. And there was this dachshund, Jerry, I think his name was.
What's the deal with the sweater on that terrier? Who gives a dog a sweater? It's a dog. It's already got a sweater. It's called fur. It's a sweater on top of a sweater. It's a double sweater. And it's July. Rocky, am I right?
And there was this boxer.
Absolutely. Double sweater.
Mm-hmm. Are you okay?
Yeah, just a little woozy. I ran into a mirror this morning.
Rocky, you run into a mirror every morning. You got to stop chasing those parked cars.
There was a poodle. I'm not sure if the New York dogs are religious, but this one might have been Jewish.
Uh-oh, here comes Fran. She's got man paws. Man paws!
Can you believe it? My owner put plastic slip covers on the couch just because I'm shedding.
That's almost as bad as putting a knit sweater on the toilet seat.
Which is what that new dog over there looks like she's wearing. Oh, look. There's Samantha, snooty little shih tzu.
And this adorable little shih tzu.
Hey, Samantha, Fran just said you're a snooty little shih tzu.
Honey, if I worried about what every bitch in New York says about me, I'd never leave the house.
Yo, Samantha, I had a really great time last night. Maybe we could do it again sometime.
I don't think so, Rocky. Mount me badly once, shame on you. Mount me badly twice, shame on me.
I'm telling you, New York dogs are nothing like Minnesota dogs.
You know, pantyhose, you're right. New York dogs aren't like Minnesota dogs. Well, they do have something in common.
What?
Allow me to elucidate in song. Let me tell you something about living on a leash. You may get fed and put to bed, but what a price for peace. They take you out every day, once or twice, and you let them know that everything smells all right. Yeah, this smells like a good place to squat.
It's a dog's life, a dog's life.
Let me just mark my territory.
It's a dog's life, a dog's life.
The only thing I own is a collar with a spike between the fleas and the ticks and the thunder late at night. Just give me a treat and I'll be feeling all right. They say it's good to be the king, but it's a dog's life. Yeah, give me some of them good treats.
It's a dog's life, a dog's life.
You know, like them snossages.
It's a dog's life, a dog's life.
Down at the park, all the big dogs compete to be number one with all the females they meet. I still maintain that while on a chain, life can be like pink champagne on ice. 7 years to one, it's a dog's life. Hey, where are my bitches at?
It's a dog's life, a dog's life.
Excuse me while I jump back and lick myself.
It's a dog's life, a dog's life.
Fetch.
Hey-ya.
You fetch.
Hey-ya.
What I look
it's
like.
It's a dog's life. A dog's life. Hey-ya. Hey-ya. It's a dog's life. A dog's life.
They wouldn't give you a sausage.
I'm working on it.
Okay. Let's just stall for time. Hi, where are y'all from? Yeah, me too. Huh. That does it for our show. Those are the sounds. That does it for our show tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us. Our program is produced by Gary Grant and me, Rob Bartlett. Written by Andrew Smith and me, Rob Bartlett. Featuring Megan Samard. Pantyhose Thompson, Andy Smithy, Whitney Johnson, Constantine Pappas.
You got it right.
And me, Rob Bartlett. Original music composed by Gary Grant, Steve Mecca, and me. Well, actually, just Gary and Steve. I had nothing to do with that one. Steve Mecca and a band to be named later. We come to you live each week from the Hackensack Meridian Health, Stage 17, streamed by the OG Podcast Network, directed by Gary Grant, and is a production of Baby Head Production Studios and Gary Grant Talent Associates. No animals were harmed in the recording of this podcast. See you next week, everybody. Subscribe, download, be somebody.
Thank you all so much. You guys have a great night.